council zoning hearings. When the council holds public hearing on zoning applications, they are legislative because the council uses the information obtained to decide whether to obtain an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Each applicant shall be announced. The director will provide council with a copy of the minutes from the P&Z hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits that were introduced at the planning zoning hearing. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application and present testimony supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their case, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. Any persons who are present and oppose the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition. After opposition statements are made, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless council decides to leave the record open. If you intend to speak, you're required to come to the front and stand at speaker stand and state your name and home address before you make a statement. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. If you have a written statement, hand it to Mr. Lank and it will be made part of the record. You will not have to read that written statement into the record. If there's more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that a prior speaker has already stated. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please do not do anything that distracts from these proceedings. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. The applicant or their representative will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the Planning and Zoning Commission deferred action, council will do likewise. And Mr. Lang, for the first hearing.
Yes, thank you. First application is conditional use number 1854. The application of Tapa Homes, LLC. It's an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a model home and office space to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Georgetown 100, Sussex County, parcel containing 36,028 square foot more or less, lying west of U.S. Route 113, 400 feet south of Wilson Hill Road, also known as Road 527. Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on September 9th of 2010. In the public hearing process, we heard comments from the Department of Transportation, Sussex Conservation District, the County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. Brett Wiley was present on behalf of Tapa Homes, LLC, and gave testimony. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed this application. Mr. Johnson stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use number 1854 for Tapa Homes, LLC, for a model home and offices, based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the proposed use is located along U.S. Route 113, a major north-south roadway in Sussex County. The site is also on the outskirts of the town of Georgetown. This is an appropriate location for a model home and offices. Two, the use is consistent with other uses on neighboring and adjacent properties. These other uses include a radio station with office buildings and towers and more intensive uses toward Georgetown and along U.S. Route 113. There are also commercial uses on the other side of U.S. Route 113. Three, the use will not adversely affect traffic or neighboring properties. Four, this recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions. A, the use shall be limited to a model home and attached office space. B, all entrances shall be subject to DLDOT approval. C, there shall only be one lighted sign not to exceed 32 square feet in size per side. D, the hours of operation shall be limited to 9 a.m. through 5 p.m. Monday through Friday and 10 a.m. through 4 p.m. on Saturdays. And as stated by the applicant, there will be no Sunday hours. D, parking shall be governed by the parking requirements set forth in the zoning code. F, if this conditional use is approved by county council, the approval will become null and void unless the construction or use is substantially underway within 3 years of the date of the approval. And G, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. Thereby, there was a motion and a second and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated, and that motion carried 4-0. For the benefit of council, I passed down a survey and site plan for this application. To date, since September 9th, I've received no additional comments from any individual or agency on this application. That's all I have. Is that question?
Okay. Are there any questions from the council?
Who said no Sunday hours? This was planning and zoning?
That was stated by the applicant.
By the applicant. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Is there someone from Tapa Homes, LLC here to give their presentation? Yes, sir? Would you come to the front, give us your full name and address?
Brett Riley, One Lake Village Circle, Ocean View, Delaware, 19970.
Okay, and if you want to tell us what you're planning to do there on the site and why you believe the council should approve this, please.
Good afternoon. We plan, our hope is to put up we sell modular homes. Our hope is to put up a modular model home, a Cape Cod, with an attached, the facade is to look like a house with an attached garage, and the attached garage will be office space. Plan to have a parking lot out front, and it's pretty much our goal is to try and sell homes from that space.
Okay. Are there going to be other homes that would be eventually placed around this, or is this a standalone sales?
As you can see from the survey, that our goal is to only have that one house on there. What this survey does not show is the point where, let's see, the northern border turns in, that is all wooded, and from there to the back part is all wooded. So our goal is not, or our intent is not to tear down those trees. Our intent is just to have the one model home on that property.
Okay. Are you one of the owners of the LLC?
Yes, sir.
And does the LLC currently own the property?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to tell us about your application?
No, I think it was all stated in the previous approval from the planning and zoning meeting.
Does anyone from the council have any questions?
No.
So you're building a model home in order to sell homes elsewhere? Or?
Correct. Uh-huh. A typical client for us would be someone who already owns a lot
mm-hmm.
somewhere
okay.
and can envision. So we have the model home. We can show how we built it, our quality, our standards.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Wasn't there a home originally there and tore down? Tear that home down.
Not that I know of. Mr. and Mrs. Reeb owned most of that corner, and Mrs. Reeb is still alive. I think they lived in the house right next door to it. It's a little white house. And then I think he passed away just as I was purchasing this, and she now moved into a house around the corner. I don't think there's anything actually on my lot, but I don't know that for certain.
Your lot is next the house that they lived, then you bought that lot?
Mm-hmm, yes, sir.
And then you bought all the way back to 527, right?
No, sir. She still owns. She's still alive, so.
Oh, you're going to tear that. You're going
no, to. No, no, no. I bought the lot. It's just a, what is this, 3/4 acre lot, give or take. And then there's a white house. So if you're going north, you're going to see the radio station. Then you can see a ditch.
Yeah.
And then you can see a little empty lot. That's me. And then you can see the white house. And then you can see another lot going to the corner. And I think at one time, that was all one parcel.
Well, I go that route, I've been that route 10,000 times, but I still don't recognize from this map. I read that map, I can't figure that map out. I don't see how he got the church on the wrong side according to this map.
It's the...
Now you come out of Wilson Hill Road, you know where that's at?
Yes, sir.
All right, you come out, you turn right, go to Georgetown. Go
yes,
to the radio station on the right.
Yes, sir.
Are you going to be on the right or left?
On the right.
Before the radio station.
Just before you get to the radio station.
Just before. It's a.
Now you go down there a little ways, there's a ditch goes across there.
Yeah, right. I'm right next.
You pass the ditch?
It's on the ditch, I think. Yeah, the ditch is noted on here.
I see you got ditches.
Does it matter which side of the ditch he's on, Sam?
Well, this one, I
thought. No, I'm on, if we're coming from Wilson Hill Road, I'm on the north side of the ditch.
Yeah.
Before the radio station.
Before the radio station.
Before you get to the ditch.
Yep.
Just before, yeah. Yes, sir.
Well, there's a house already there.
It's next door.
That's
a lot up.
That house sits on this property.
Oh, there's a little space. Okay, enough space between the house.
And then if you notice, there's an easement.
Okay.
That easement goes to their existing septic system. There's a 20-foot.
Okay, you got a small lot there.
I got a small lot. Yes, so in fact, it would be very difficult to put another module or another model home. And these aren't trailers, these are homes. So it would be very difficult to put more than one on that.
She's doing the jewelry.
That original parcel, Mr. Wilson, was subdivided into five pieces.
Okay.
Three of them, one of them's an acreage, like 5 acres, and there's two lots that front Wilson Hill Road, and there's two lots that front 113. One of them has a white house, and then this lot is closer to the radio.
No, on the right-hand side, was a home in Arab, they tore it down.
Yes.
Okay. So you're on the left-hand side.
I'm on the good, yes.
On the main house. Okay. Couldn't figure it out from this map.
Now we can move on.
That's right. Are there any other questions from the council? Do you have anyone else that would like to speak that you'd like to call? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone here to speak in favor? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone that would like to speak in opposition? Seeing none, Mr. President, I think it's appropriate to deem the public hearing over, and if so, deemed to close the record on this matter.
And if there's no objection, I'd ask you to read the title. You can have a seat.
Thank you.
This is an ordinance grant of conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for model home and offices to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in George 900, Sussex County, containing 36,028 square feet, more or less, subject to the following conditions. The use shall be limited to a model home and attached office space. B, all entrances shall be subject to DLDOT approval. C, there shall only be one lighted sign not to exceed 32 square feet in size per side. D, the hours of operation shall be limited to 9 a.m. through 5 p.m. Monday through Friday and 10 a.m. through 4 p.m. on Saturdays. As stated by the applicant, there will be no Sunday hours. E, parking shall be governed by the parking requirements set forth in the zoning code. F, if this conditional use is approved by County Council, the approval will become null and void unless construction or use is substantially underway within 3 years of date of approval. G, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning Zoning Commission.
Is it appropriate to maybe make an amendment to, like, D, hours of operation, so the county doesn't have to enforce those hours in case? Is this the appropriate time to do that?
Yes.
Or can we make a motion to adopt this with the conditions but eliminate D when we make the that motion?
You can do that, or probably better to make the motion to amend D first.
Right. Well, I'd like to make a motion to amend the conditions and strike D about the hours of operation.
Is there a second?
Yes, I'll second it.
Any discussion? Take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. D is stricken. No
that,
hours
does
of
that
operation.
Include the whole D?
Hold all of D.
All
the
hours.
Everything. All of D.
24/7.
Let him set his own hours.
Okay, and I had read the... I had previously read the short title with the conditions, and obviously then the conditions, if you vote on this as amended, E, F, and G will be numbered to be D, E, and F.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And I will entertain a motion to approve conditional use 1854 with the conditions as amended.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Take the vote. Reasons for your vote, please, Ms. Deaver.
Yes, and my reasons are the same as Planning and Zoning Commission's reasons with the amended conditions.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes, same reason, P&Z came.
Mr. Cole.
For the same reasons as the P&Z's recommendation, I'll vote yes.
Mr. Vincent.
Agreement with P&Z, I vote yes.
Appropriate application, be good for the economy, I vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay, next hearing, Mr. Ryan.
Yes, conditional use 1855, the application of Double R Holdings LLC. It's an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for general offices and medical professional offices to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis or Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 3.4 acres more or less, lying southwest of Plantation Road, also known as Road 275, 2,100 feet northwest of Route 24. For the benefit of council, I've passed down, I only had four copies left of the exhibit booklet. You can share those. Now, the Planning and Zoning Commission on this application, we'll pass it down here. On September 9th, 2010.
Sorry, Neil.
Yes, Mr. Wilson does.
On August 30th of 2010, the applicant did provide an exhibit booklet, which I've passed down copies. The reason I don't have enough copies is the commission hadn't deliberated on this application yet, so they're still holding their exhibit booklet. The applicants also provided an environmental assessment and public facilities evaluation and sketch plan report. DLDOT provided comments in the form of a commercial entrance permit approval. The Office of State Planning Coordination provided comments on September 29th of 2009, which are part of the record. On August 17th of 2010, the Conservation District provided comments. And on September 8th of 2010, the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division provided comments. All those comments are in the record of the Commission's report. The commission was also provided with copies of ordinance number 1732 for conditional use number 1573, which was for Robert Burton, Double R Holding LLC, the previous application for the same use on this site. And I advised the commission that the applicants had not started substantial construction of the project and that the conditional use was considered void, the original one. On the public hearing side, Mr. Burton, or Robert Burton of Double R Holding, was present with James Fuquay, attorney with Fuquay, Urey, and Willard, and Gary Couples, professional engineer with ECI, and they all gave testimony. Mr. Fuquay also submitted suggested proposed findings of fact and conditions of approval. There were no parties present in support of the application. Lyndon Jackson was present in opposition to the application and gave testimony, which again is part of the report. Alicia Miller was present on behalf of the Metropolitan Community Church of Rehoboth Beach Incorporated, the adjoining property owner. Didn't speak in opposition, but questioned the process about water and sewer availability in hopes that their church would be built on that site, and that water and sewer availability was a big factor, or is a big factor, in development of their site for the church. On September 9th, the commission did defer action. On September 23rd, the application was brought back before the commission under old business, and again they deferred action and have yet to make a recommendation on this application. The record shows I've received no additional comments or from individual or agencies to date since the 9th of September. And that's all I have, unless you have questions.
Are there any questions from council? If not, Mr. Fuquay.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Deaver, gentlemen. For the record, my name is James Fuquay. I'm an attorney in Georgetown, and I'm here on behalf of Rob Burton of Double R Holdings LLC. Rob is seated behind me right back here in the blue shirt. Also seated behind me here is Gary Couples of ECI Engineering, who were the engineers and designers of the site. As Mr. Lang stated, there was an exhibit book submitted and an environmental assessment report. And they are in the record. This is a conditional use application for professional, medical, and business offices to be located in three office buildings containing approximately 8,100 square feet each. The site itself contains 3.4 acres. It's located on the west side of Plantations Road, which is County Road 275, just north of Route 24. The application is very similar, almost identical, to a conditional use application that was presented to the county in 2004. At that time, Double R Holdings was comprised of two partners, Rob Burton and Ross Harris. They were friends and business partners. Planning and Zoning held a public hearing in October 2004 and unanimously recommended approval of the conditional use subject to conditions. And the County Council held a public hearing in November of 2004 and unanimously approved the conditional use subject to the conditions that the Planning and Zoning Commission had recommended. In December of 2005, permits had been obtained and a final site plan was actually submitted to the county that was approved by the county. For those of you who may not have known Ross Harris, Ross was the president and owner of ECI and handled the engineering, design, and permitting of this proposed conditional use. And shortly after the conditional use was approved, Ross was diagnosed with cancer, which he battled. He died about a year later. Aside from the understandable tragedy of losing a business partner and a friend, Mr. Burton basically found himself in a position where he now owned one half of Double R and Ross's estate owned the other half of Double R. So after some time, eventually Rob found new partners who purchased Ross's interest from the estate and basically began to move forward with the office development. In January of 2008, Mr. Burton reappeared before the Planning and Zoning Commission with a revised site plan. The original site plan had four buildings on it, and that was revised to three one-and-a-half-story buildings, and that was approved as a concept by the commission in January of 2008, and that concept plan is basically the plan that's on that board there, and it's before you today. After that, Rob was moving forward with construction plans, and he would be the first to admit that he was not familiar with the requirements of conditional uses, and in August of 2009, he received a letter from Mr. Lank stating that the conditional use had been voided due to the expiration of time. As you know, conditional use is good for a year, and it can be renewed for an additional 2 years. But the time had run out on it. As soon as he recovered from the shock of that letter, he again retained ECI to file the new conditional use application, which is before you today. And I do want to stress that this application is the same conditional use application as previously approved. It's the same site plan that had obtained approval from the commission in January 2008. And copies of the minutes of the Planning and Zoning Commission and the County Council are in the exhibit book that I had submitted to you. As to the site plan itself, the site is flat. It's mostly cleared. There's a scattering of small trees on a portion of the property. Just for orientation, this is Plantations Road here. There'd be one entrance from Plantations Road located right here. The entrance has been approved by DLDOT. In fact, it's been approved several times. Most recently, it received DLDOT approval in October of 2009, and that will need to be renewed subject to the approval of the commission, of the council. The entrance design provides that there'd be a right turn lane coming south on Plantations Road, and there'd be a left turn lane, a protected left turn lane, going north on Plantations Road. There's also a 10-foot multi-use path, which would be constructed along the frontage of the site. And, of course, those improvements would be the responsible of the applicant to construct. Water for domestic use and fire protection will be provided by Tidewater Utilities, a public water company. Tidewater already serves water in that area. As to sewer, the site is not in a sanitary sewer district at this time. It is in the Gosley Creek planning area, and it adjoins the West Rehoboth expansion area of the Dewey Beach Sanitary Sewer District. Sewer service has not been extended to the area at this time. It is intended that the site will utilize an on-site wastewater system until such time as the county sewer is extended to the area. Approval for an on-site system had previously been obtained from DENREC, and a permit had been issued for the system, which, again, will need to be renewed pending the council's approval of the conditional use. The actual on-site collection system will be built in accordance with Sussex County Engineering Department requirements, and it will be tied into the county sewer system as soon as it is available. Other utilities serving the site, electric would be by Delaware Electric Co-op, telephone by Verizon, and internet by Mediacom. Fire protection, I'm not certain which area it's in. Rehoboth and Lewis have a joint station out Route 24, and Rehoboth has a substation near the Food Line Shopping Center on Route 1, both of which are fairly close to this. So fire protection would be by both Rehoboth and Lewis Volunteer Fire Companies. The site is designed with three one-and-a-half-story office buildings containing 8,100 square foot each. That's the architectural renderings of the site. They have a residential appearance in terms of roof lines, windows, things of that nature. That would be from the front looking in from Plantations Road. The buildings themselves shown on here are the yellow buildings, or the yellow squares. Again, the entrance coming in serving the buildings. The parking area, there's no parking in the front yard setback. In fact, there's no parking in front of the buildings. The parking has been redirected to the rear of these buildings and to the building located to the rear of the site. There's 66 parking spaces. 10 of them are handicap spaces. The location of the parking is in accordance with the original recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Commission on the original conditional use, which was approved by the council. The area in front of the two front buildings would be landscaped, and there would be two shallow landscape ponds located on either side of the entrance road, which we think will create an attractive appearance from Plantations Road and from developments located across the street. Those two ponds are not stormwater ponds. They're purely aesthetic landscaping ponds. To the rear of the site, the west side of the site, back here, there is a 30-foot agricultural buffer. And then on the north and the south sides, which are the sides of the property, they will be landscaped. There's four trash receptacles, which are located at the four corners of this middle parking area, and they will be screened. The northwest corner of the parcel, which is that area where there is no building, that would be the location of the wastewater disposal area. And again, that would be in compliance with the DENREC permit. Stormwater management will utilize best management practices. The design will use bioswales. It will be a closed stormwater collection system, and there'd be an underground stormwater infiltration facility constructed. Security lights in the parking areas would be directional, so they do not impact or interfere with neighboring properties. We're proposing one two-sided sign, which would be lighted, and the size would not exceed 32 square feet. The proposed office hours for the public would be 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday. Again, these would be the maximum business hours. Doesn't mean they would necessarily be open then. But the office hours would be 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday, and 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturday. And they're the same hours that were approved on the original conditional use. There'd be no Sunday hours of public operation. The office may be used by people who own them or rent them at other times, but not for public use and not for public hours. The site is located in the environmentally sensitive development area, which is a designated growth area under the 2008 comp plan, and office use is appropriate in that area. The site is in a level 2 and 3 areas under the state strategies plan. A plus review was not required, and there is a letter in the file from Mrs. Holland confirming that. The area on both sides of Plantations Road, you're probably familiar with it. It's developed with numerous residential developments between Route 24 and the Lowe's store. Since the time of the original approval of the conditional use, The main changes that have occurred in the area basically are the continuing residential development in the area and the approval this year of some medical offices. There was a medical office approved for Rheumatology Consultants of Delaware. That was Dr. Pando, and that's at Shady Road and Plantations Road, which is north of this site. And then there was some professional offices for Todd Bariglio, and that's located at the intersection of Cedar Road and Plantations Road, and that's also north of this site. In both of those approvals that have occurred this year, the Planning Commission and the County Council recognized that these proposed uses for offices was of a public or semi-public character and desirable for the general convenience and welfare of the area, and that the location was appropriate. And it's particularly appropriate for medical offices due to the proximity to the BB Health Campus, which, as you know, is located on Route 24. Since 2004, the BB Health Campus has grown considerably. It now provides a significant amount of outpatient and testing services to residents in the beach area, particularly people living on Route 24 and Plantation Road developments. I had prepared and had submitted to the Planning and Zoning Commission some proposed findings and conditions, which I would submit to you and ask you to consider. As you know, the Planning and Zoning Commission has not made a recommendation on this yet, so we're aware that you won't be making a decision today, and it won't be back on the agenda until you've received their recommendations. That being said, the purpose of a conditional use is to permit uses of a public or semi-public character, which are essential and desirable for general convenience and welfare, which this does. These requested offices meet that goal, and the location of the use is appropriate. It's going to serve the existing and growing residential development in the area. It is in a growth area under the county comp plan and state strategies map. And again, it's near the BB Health Campus. Now, there were some comments that I'm aware of saying that this would be the third approval of professional offices on Plantations Road. But I kind of disagree with that, because in reality, this was the first professional offices that were unanimously approved by the county back in 2004. And quite honestly, but for Ross Harris's untimely death and the unforeseen complications that transpired after that, these offices would probably already have been built and be in existence. So again, we think this is appropriate, and after you have received the recommendations of the Planning Commission, we request your approval subject to reasonable conditions. And that would complete what we have to present, although we will certainly try to answer any questions you might have.
Any questions?
And I guess, Mr. Fuca, this is all in one question, but I'm looking through the book you gave us under executive summary. And I just am a little, I guess, concerned that the traffic impact study data was done in the summer of 2002, and the projections were through the year 2006. There's been nothing done since then?
Yeah, Carol, can you? I can tell you that the original traffic impact study was done then as part of the original conditional use application. Gary, can you bring it up to date from that?
My name is Gary Couples. I'm the president of ECI. That's true. The traffic study was done in 2002, however, the traffic, the volume of traffic from the site wouldn't change. And DelDOT, as recently as October 21st of 2009, reissued the entrance permit for the project. Actually, if you review the traffic study, you'll find it, although it projected through 2006, a lot of the traffic that was proposed did not occur. However, DelDOT would not issue the entrance permit if the data wasn't current or jive with the information that they have. So they did issue entrance permit. They have informed us that they will reissue the same entrance permit, assuming that this board acts to approve our application.
And I guess my next question, very next page in that, list five things that it says, I guess improvements or upgrades proposed to the right. Is that, have any of those been done? Or I see there's two of them in bold that says they pertain to this, I guess.
Those improvements were improvements that were discussed and agreed to with DLDOT at the time that the initial permit was issued. And the responsibility as far as contributing to those improvements is that of the developer. However, we haven't developed anything, so any off sites that are required for our client to participate in would be paid for at the time that, you know, we really have a project.
But you would participate in these old
that
those
that was part of the agreement with DLDOT when the entrance permit was issued.
I think that was a requirement of the entrance permit.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions from council? If not, is there anyone else here that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone else that would like to speak in favor? Is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Sir, won't you come down first?
For the record, I'm Michael Sweeney. I live at 18983 Goldfinch Cove, which is in one of the residential developments that has been developed since the 2004 application and approval. My experience in Sussex County goes back to 1972, and I've watched Sussex County grow and change, and I have decided to retire in Sussex County from Connecticut. And I chose, along with my wife, a development on Plantation Road because of its proximity to many services, knowing full well that Plantation Road would be a busy road. And in fact, Plantation Road has become, in the 3 years that we've owned the house, an extremely busy road. And in many ways, it has become the cut-through for people who are trying to avoid the traffic lights on Route 1. That is something that occurs throughout the year, but during the summertime, Plantation Road can back up for a substantial distance. And my concern with the development of three separate office complexes on Plantation Road is that you are going to be adding a substantial amount of traffic to Plantation Road because of it. I am very much in favor of having medical offices very close to me, because I'm of an age where I have to avail myself of them more frequently than I would like. But I question especially whether Saturday hours for this particular applicant would be appropriate, given the seasonal traffic flow that occurs on Saturday specifically. And that is my main concern. And I'd like to have that registered.
Okay, thank you very much. Is there anyone else, ma'am?
My name is Sandy Spence. I live in Seawood, which is on Robinsonville Road, which the only way we can get east is going onto Plantations Road, either to go north or south. And I was astounded to hear that there's been no traffic change since the earlier impact study was done, because I've experienced it myself. I can tell you that it sometimes takes 10 minutes just to get off my road onto Plantations. There's a traffic light at Route 9, and there's a traffic light at Route 24, and there's nothing in between, and there are many, many intersections with no traffic lights. one, for example, is at Shady Road, and I understand there's been a bus facility for DLDOT approved on the corner of Shady Road and Plantations, right in the back corner of Lowe's. So we already have all the traffic coming, going to and from Lowe's. We're going to have a bus facility there. Henlopen and Landing, I can show you the map that I was able to get. All of the orange is medium residential, okay? Most of the white, including here, which is where I live and next door to me at Gosley Creek, is all existing CR1. It's all existing built-up communities. This white is community. This white is community. This white is community. Most of the area in this whole area is residential, with the exception of the recent approvals of the medical office on the corner of Shady Road and the one across, catty cornered across on Cedar Grove. well, we have all of this red, which is commercial. There's plenty of space for offices. Down here, right here, is Beebe. Beebe has empty medical offices available for rent right now, and you already have approved additional ones on Plantations Road. By the way, I must say I was very saddened by Mr. Harris's death. I knew him, and that was a very sad thing, and I'm sorry that happened, but the fact is that things have happened in the meantime, and this is the third one that would be approved in spite of what was said. I can also tell you that on Postal Lane, that's going right through here. This is all residential, all residential. This is Sandy Bray right here. And I can tell you that on busy days, Postal Lane between Plantations and Route 1 can get backed up halfway down the road. And so people were starting to learn that they can now go through Sandy Bray, which is a private community, but it's a shortcut to get if you want to go north on route on Plantations Road, because it'll take you 15 minutes possibly to get on there otherwise. And this isn't just on weekends. The weekends are the worst, especially in the summer. But as you know, all of the chambers of commerce recently have been doing things to extend the tourist season. So, and a lot of people come down on Friday. They take a day off. They come down Friday. So it's really Friday, Saturday, even Monday when they're trying, when they're going home. I just wanted to let you know that, for an example, is I had an accident on the corner of Shady Road and Plantations. I was coming from Route 1 on Shady Grove and trying to get onto Plantations Road, and there was so much traffic that I was waiting and waiting and waiting, and finally I thought there was a break in the traffic, so I pulled out by about 6 inches maybe, very slowly, and a big truck behind me rammed right into the back of me. The guy, the driver, was very upset. He was very apologetic. He said he wasn't paying attention, but he rammed into me because once I got out 6 inches, I saw that there was traffic coming rapidly, and I couldn't go. So there's all, and this happened 2 or 3 years ago, and there's even more traffic now. Recently, the Board of Adjustment approved the variance for something like 44 lots at Henlopen Landing, which is right here, sort of across from Lowe's and across from where Shady Grove comes in. Shady Road, and so they're going to build more houses there than was approved originally in that proposal. At the last meeting of the Board of Adjustment on last Monday, the applicant for the medical office that you approved on the corner of Plantation and Cedar Grove came in and asked for a variance so they can put parking in the front of the building instead of behind where it's supposed to be. So even when you approve something, they can still come back to the Board of Adjustment and get variances. So I just am totally opposed to this project, and I hope that you will turn it down. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak, sir?
Good afternoon. My name is Glendon Jackson. I reside at 33372 McKenzie Way. And I'll try not to be redundant, but everything the lady just spoke, I completely agree with everything she said.
Excuse me, what town? You said McKenzie Way.
McKenzie Way.
In which town?
It's right off Plantations Road.
Lewis.
Is that Lewis?
Lewis. Yes.
Mm-hmm. How far is that from this site here?
Oh, probably what, half mile?
Half mile.
Maybe a mile.
Mile.
maybe not. I've lived here all my life on this road, Plantation Road, which used to be Road 275 before it became Plantation Road, with exception maybe 4 or 5 years when we had to move because of a house fire, and we moved to Milton, and then finally moved back. So I definitely have seen a lot of change in over the years as far as the traffic pattern, as far as the growth. I'm 58 years old, so I can remember the old John Angling Farm, Halsey Knapp Farm, Pig Farm, and so forth. So it goes back a ways. There's a big change since then. as I said, I'll try not to be redundant, but anyhow, I agree with what's been spoken here about the traffic study. I mean, a lot has happened in the 5-6 years since the last traffic study. I agree with if this is approved, which, again, I'm totally against approving this project, but if it is approved, I definitely don't agree with the Saturday hours. It wasn't mentioned about, it was mentioned about, I think, the couple of the office complexes that's been approved, but I don't think it was mentioned about the development that was approved recently, probably in the last 7 months, whatever, and that's Cottagedale, which is going to be a big increase in traffic also. I have seen the traffic really grow, and I've even relayed to my family members that if they're going out on the Plantation Road and if they're heading, say, south towards 24, I've encouraged them to try not to go across two lanes of traffic because it's kind of taking your life in your hands. I encourage them to turn right and maybe go down and make a U-turn at a light or whatever. My wife and my daughter years ago was involved in an accident at on Plantation Road, heading south, going to make a left onto Postal Lane, and they were sitting there and they got rear-ended by a vehicle. Of course, that's, you know, again, neither here nor there. I guess, you know, people cause accidents every day, but I'm just trying to relate to the amount of traffic and so forth. The development, as has been stated here, was approved. It's unfortunate the partner of the gentleman passed away. But again, as this lady stated, you know, this, he can look at it different ways, but it's still, this is the first or the third office space to be considered for approval. The road also at times in certain areas on Plantation Road floods at times because of some low areas, usually a couple, 2-3 locations on Plantation Road, a couple of them right there by the plantations. And also I wanted to mention about, they said something about the turn lanes. I was just wondering if the turn lane, especially one going south, whether that's going to be, turn lane's going to be part of the existing roadway or it's going to be part of the property that's in question that they're going to use for the turn lane. And also there's the issue again with the sewer service. They're assuming that eventually sewer will be offered in that area. How long? I don't know. They don't know. If it does happen, they don't know, and I don't know. But at any rate, the office hours, again, for Saturday, I disagree with. And I believe that pretty much covers everything. Again, I do want to state that I am in opposition to this project. And I certainly thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Let me just cover something for you guys. The last two people speaking have impressed upon us about traffic and the old impact study was 2002. So are you trying to say there should be a new impact study, or we should get some more details, or have DLDOT at least review this and update it? Because there has been that building boom since 2002. It's died down now, but there was in 2004 and 2005 and 2006 a lot going on, so which maybe is added to the traffic. So are you implying that maybe this 2002 traffic impact study is not relevant with the current application?
Oh, most definitely, yes.
Okay, I mean,
definitely
just
say,
trying,
you know,
okay,
before it is approved, whatever, definitely I would say it needs another impact study.
Okay, that's what I was trying to just say.
The lady spoke a while ago about the side roads coming into Plantation Roads. There's four of them that I'm aware of, and at any given day, it's not just summertime, whatever, any given day, those roads back up. I've seen on Postal Lane, she was talking about where to cut through the development to get around the traffic. I've seen it backed up there, Cedar Grove Road. Shady Road, I've seen it back from Plantation Road all the way back to Route 1 at Grotto's. And again, this is not just summertime anymore. This is year round. And it's really gone above and beyond. I'm not against the office spaces. I'm all for it. However, I don't think that's the location for them. I stated before, maybe not in front of this council, but I've stated before standing here that I don't understand it. You know, years and years ago, they started this process. They started on Savannah Road, branching out, buying existing residential homes, turning them into doctor's office. And now they just keep moving out. I don't know for the life of me why they can't congregate them all in one location. I know when I go to Christiana, up there to Christiana Hospital, they've got two or three big, three or four-story buildings there, nothing but doctors in there, all in one location. I don't know why that can't be done here. Same. Route 24 would be an excellent location as far as I'm concerned. They talk about the close proximity to BB Medical. Why can't they get out on 24 beside BB Medical? It's stated that BB Medical has office space, which they do. I concur with that. So to me, it's just not the proper location to put them. No problem whatsoever. I know that a lot of people are coming to this state retiring. They need the medical facilities. I understand that, no problem. But just, I don't think this is location is appropriate. And basically, it's because it's like we're putting a cart before the horse. And I know Del Dot's got a lot to do with this. And I think that the infrastructure is not in place. The roads aren't what they should be to substantiate the growth and so forth. And I just, like I said, I just disagree where it's going to be.
Thank you, Mr. Jackson.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak? You've already spoken, I believe. I believe it was answered.
I think it implied also. Okay, I took that implication. I just wanted Mr. Jackson to kind of clarify.
Right. You can come forward, ma'am.
Or they just, no, do you concur
sorry.
With?
No, you, Sandy, I'm sorry.
Thank you for letting me speak. On September 9th, the plant...
Your name, please.
I'm sorry, Shelley DeLauro. And
address.
I live in Sandy Bray in Lewis. On September 9th, the Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearings on a variety of Sussex County proposals. And I'd like to summarize one of the applications presented to the Commission for conditional use. Double R Holdings asked for conditional use of land in the agricultural residential district in which I live. They described the, quote, 3.4 acre parcel, more or less, as lying southwest of Plantation Road and northwest of Route 24. Their plan is to build three one-and-a-half-story buildings on the site to be used as medical and professional offices. May I remind the applicants and council that an office complex just north on Plantation at Cedar Grove has already been approved in this agricultural residential district. Also approved recently was the application for the doctor's offices further north on Plantation. And the church and multiple unit housing complex that was also approved has yet to be built. At the planning and zoning hearing, Mr. Fuqua represented Double R Holdings and made its presentation to the commission. Commissioner Johnson asked a few pertinent questions, such as how will each of the three 8,000 square foot buildings impact traffic on Plantation Road? Mr. Fuqua responded to the Commissioner Johnson's query by giving a narrative of his daily drive from Rehoboth to Georgetown. I don't know if he uses Plantation Road. I don't know if it comes into play there. He also reported that in 2004, Del Dot had factored in traffic patterns on Plantation Road to the year 2015. but he said he has no written report from DelDOT. Plantation Road remains basically the same as when it was built before Ida Lot, Henlopen Landing, Woods Cove, and Summercrest communities even existed. Mentioned several times throughout Mr. Fuqua's presentation was the growing residential community that would be helped by having these professional offices nearby. Is he or council members familiar with the many vacant medical offices just around the corner on Route 24 at the BB Center, or the previously mentioned office complex already approved at Plantation and Cedar? Labor Day has passed and the summer crowds have subsided, but my recent memory has not dimmed enough to forget the horrendous traffic that local residents and visitors endured all summer. All along Postal Road, Plantation Road, and on our area roads, and throughout Sandy Bray community. In general, beer and soda cans, fast food bags and wrappers, and other trash has been left as a reminder. I cannot fathom why council has approved so many office buildings be built in this agricultural residential district. Why this three-building complex would be permitted to be open from 10 to 5 on Saturdays in addition to 9 to 7 on weekdays. And why all our government commissions, councils, and agencies, such as DelDOT, would put their stamps of approval on such projects. We don't have to wait for the inevitable. Many accidents have already occurred on Plantation Road. I'm not opposed to development at all. I am not opposed to development. I'm opposed to the developers, the lawyers, and a government body made up of individuals who could have conflicts of interest on applications they approve or disapprove. All over the country, empty shopping malls are renting individual stores to grow fruits and vegetables in previously occupied spaces. Our own Rehoboth Mall hasn't been a shopping destination for years and is reflected in the boarded up storefronts. For rent and for lease signs can be seen up and down Route 1 and Route 24. We've allowed precious farmland to be sold and paved over for stores, offices, and apartment and housing complexes that now sit empty. Permit me to run this by council. Three pieces of real estate had recently been on the market in Sussex County. Would they have been rezoned by council? 32104 Dogwood Lane in Laurel. Is that a good site for an office complex? 723 Magnolia Drive in Seaford. Would that be a good place to establish a residential facility for at-risk youth? 15942 Wilson Hill Road in Georgetown. Envision this as Sussex County's newest commercial landing strip to be used daily by FedEx and UPS, since an airplane hangar already exists on the property. Would the residents of Laurel, Seaford, or Georgetown support your approval for rezoning and conditional use applications for these projects? If the Planning and Zoning Commission and Sussex County Council have a plan in mind for the eastern side of the county, it is only fair that you share that plan with the residents who live there. If there is no plan, I strongly believe one should be developed before the commission or council approve another zoning change in our county. Thank you for letting me speak.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition? Anyone else in opposition? Seeing none, Mr. President, there was no one else.
I just have one question.
It's just a question.
I don't know what those addresses were. Could it be an explanation as to what those addresses were? I don't understand the significance of those addresses.
You got a TomTom in your car? Or whatever those GPS things, can't you? After you get out of here, why don't you plug them in and see where they take you?
Okay. We'll proceed. Do your own investigation, Mr. Fuqua.
Right.
And we're not going to do your work for you.
At this point, the public hearing is deemed closed. And if appropriate, the record closed as well.
I want to know about that narrative to the work, your narrative to Georgetown every day. I'd love to hear that.
I have something.
Does council have any objection to the record being closed?
I wanted to make one remark. On page, page 9, executive summary. Okay, it's tab 6, executive summary.
And the applicant is going to be participating in widening of sections of Route 24, including a 58-foot typical cross-section of three lanes plus shoulders. These improvements are not in the DLDOT's five-year plan.
Were these improvements from that 2002 study? Question is it? Do we know, Lawrence, where the?
I don't know.
I know where these are, but they're not even in the five-year plan. I'm just, you know.
Mr. Cole raised the question about the study. Mr. Cole, have you got a suggestion on that?
Well, I was going to say that what I've heard from the opposition from one after another was referencing the traffic issue, and in light of the fact that the last study was in 2002, I'd like to put out on the table, is there any consensus that we leave the record open and request a traffic impact study to be either updated, but have DLDOT review this one or require a new one. I don't know how what DLDOT would suggest, but I would leave it open to get some maybe comments from DLDOT referencing this 2002 traffic impact study, and is it relevant? And then if we get that information, then we would make a decision whether a impact study would be required or not. But I think we need to get some updated testimony from DLDOT.
Mr. Lank, I see you furiously waving.
No, I have a copy of the October 21st, 2009 actual entrance approval. Mm-hmm. The site has been approved, and according to testimony by Mr. Fuquay, that the DLDOT is going to reissue this permit again if this rezoning or this conditional use is approved.
Well, still, I think issuing a permit to a site versus an impact study.
They use that information to be able to issue this permit.
Well, then maybe they could just write us a letter and
I can request it.
Yeah, I think in light of the opposition here and the concern about the traffic, and try to get to the bottom of the traffic problem. So that's what would be my suggestion, to leave the record open for that.
It's a significant enough point. I'm going to accept that as a motion, if you don't mind. Could I get a second on
second.
That? Okay, a motion and a second to leave the record open for the purpose of getting DLDOT's commentary on the traffic impact study. And if there is a recommendation that one is redone, then we would consider that.
Right. That's basically it. Right, that'd be fine.
Any other discussion on that point?
I can't think of anything else that was brought up. I don't know if anybody else that I heard, but basically the traffic at this point is the issue on Plantation.
I hear that every time anybody comes forward on Plantation Road, that's a problem. But
yes,
I also heard Mr. Lank say that the DLDOT has reviewed it and gave the permission to, or the approval, in 2009. So I don't know if this is a worthwhile argument.
We're going to call the question to find out what the body believes. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
No.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote no. Motion carried. We will leave the record open for DLDOT's commentary on traffic impact study. If they believe one needs to be redone, we will put that back on the agenda as old business. Otherwise, we'll consider the record closed.
That's correct. And this was deferred. And so, consequently, we cannot take action on the merits.
Right. I'll entertain a motion to defer.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Thank you, Mr. McFarland.
Okay. The last hearing, Mr. Lank.
Yes.
Omar Road, LLC.
Omar Road, LLC is an application for conditional use number 1858 to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a helicopter landing site for private purpose to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dagsborough 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 8.45 acres, more or less, lying north of Omar Road, also known as Route 54. 1,800 feet east of Road 354, also known as Duke's Road, and also being 1/2 mile west of Road 382, also known as Armory Road. Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on September 9th. The commission was provided with an exhibit booklet, which you all have copies. The Conservation District provided comments. The County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division provided comments. Dennis Schrader, attorney with Wilson Albrook and Byard Professional Association, was present on behalf of the application, with Jeff Clark of Land Tech Land Planning and Roger Boyce, a certified flight instructor, pilot, and fire protection consultant, and all gave testimony. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed the application and did defer on September 9th for further consideration. On September 23rd of 2010, the commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Johnson stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use number 1858 for Omar Road LLC for a private helicopter landing site, based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, this conditional use is being requested as part of the operations permitted by conditional use number 1679, which provides maintenance for chain store facilities. The applicant is requesting a helipad so that he can use his personal helicopter to oversee his business, which has sites like this in several states. Two, the helipad will be limited to just the owner's use and will not be open to general aviation or the public. Three, the use will not lead to any increase in traffic. Four, the applicant provided expert testimony that the helicopter landing and takeoffs will not generate excessive noise or adversely affect the neighboring properties or community. Five, no parties appeared in opposition to this application. And six, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. One, the use shall be for the private personal use of the business occupying the adjacent office warehouse and shall not be open for general aviation purposes. Two, the use of the helicopter landing pad shall be subject to the applicable requirements of the FAA and any other governmental agency having jurisdiction over its use. Three, no fuel storage or repair facilities for the helicopter shall exist on the site. Four, as stated by the applicant, any helicopters using this site shall have a capacity of 4 seats or less. Five, as stated by the applicant, the landing site shall not be lighted. And six, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion and a second and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. Motion carried 3-0, one not voting, with Mr. Wheatley abstaining since he was not present during the public hearing. I received no additional comments from an individual or agency to date since this public hearing on September 9th. And that's all I have, unless you have questions.
Are there any questions? If not, Mr. Schrader.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. My name is Dennis Schrader. I'm the attorney for Omar Road LLC, which is both the applicant and the owner of the site that is the subject matter of conditional use 1858. I have with me Jeff Clark, whom you all know, who is a landscape architect with Land Tech, and I also have Roger Boyce, who is an expert in matters relating to piloting, training, use of helicopters, and coincidentally, fire regulations, an unusual combination that we can have in one person. I have provided a book that has been circulated to you that will give you various exhibits which demonstrate the view of the site that will be used for this particular conditional use if you should choose to favor the granting of this conditional use. In this book, you will find there are site plans, copies of deeds, the application itself, photographs of various items that will be informational to you, including in tab 10, a photograph of a helicopter similar to the one that is proposed to be used by Mr. Herker on this location. This site is located north of Omar Road, about 1,800 feet east of Dukes Road, near Armory Road. It's on a site that contains 8.45 acres, more or less, and is an agricultural residential district, which is already currently subject to a conditional use, being conditional use number 1679. Which permits Mr. Herker to have on this site offices and warehouse uses for his businesses. Jeff will discuss with you the surrounding properties and how all this comes together and plays in favor of use of the site. What we have asked for is a conditional use for a landing site for Mr. Herker's private helicopter. This is in a low-density area within the County's comprehensive plan. There are the exhibits which we have submitted to you for review. There is no implication from the use of a helicopter on the use of any streets or public roads. Therefore, there is no DLDOT comment. The use of the helicopter as a landing site does not have any implication on the use of any sanitary waste disposal or of on any water supply. There are no delineated wetlands that are affected by this. And at this time, I would like to introduce Mr. Clark to you so that he can give you an overview of the area for the proposed site. The use of the site is a prior conditional use, the proposed uses of the helipad and the hangar, and the purpose and the frequency of visits that Mr. Herker would like to achieve. Jeff?
Thank you, Dennis. For the record, my name is Jeff Clark. I'm a landscape architect with the firm of Land Tech Land Planning in Ocean View. And by way of this aerial photo from the Delaware Data Mill, it shows the site in the center of the photo. It just gives you a general idea of the neighborhood. There's some abandoned poultry houses toward the Frankfurt side or to the west of the property. And there are some scattered home sites around the property. Right in the center is actually the site of the facility, which was the subject of a conditional use, which was granted back in mid-July of 2009. And it was for that building, which is a warehouse for Herker Maintenance, who's based out of Chads Ford, or an office near Chads Ford, Pennsylvania. The conditional use site involved the warehouse building itself, and you see immediately behind that a stormwater management facility and then an area for storage of materials. Herker Maintenance is in the property maintenance business. Their clients are primarily chains, for example, Wawa. And in your book and in Section 2, we describe some of their business practices, but Wawa, Home Depot, businesses like that. So they kind of follow the expansion of those chains, and they do everything from landscaping to lawn maintenance. They wash the windows. They buff the floors. They paint the parking lots, stripe the parking lots, all aspect of maintenance. And again, there's a little more detail in the book that's been provided to show the depth of their service. This facility on Omar Road near Frankfurt is a satellite, as Wawa and Home Depot and others have moved into our region. It's a reach from the Chads Ford location to service those. So Mr. Herker has opened a satellite office here in Sussex County. And the purpose then of this application is so that he can visit these two sites handily using his own helicopter. And I have on the exhibit here, and it's also the same exhibit in your package, I've shown a large circle there, which is certainly an exaggeration of the size of the property that would be necessary to land a helicopter. But it does show that adjacent to the warehouse building, there is a parking lot. At the end of the parking lot, there is a concrete pad that's sized for a helicopter to land. And the concrete, the purpose of that is so that in warm weather, the vehicle won't settle into the asphalt and create a safety problem. But the entire site that Mr. Herker owns is 8.5 acres, but the application here deals with that piece of property to the west where you see the building and that arrow pointing to that circle. In speaking with Mr. Herker, he anticipates in the summer when things are busy, he may visit the site as many as 6 times a month. Typically, it would be a once a week kind of thing, but he would like you to consider that he would possibly visit as many as six times a month. And if there are any questions regarding the site plan or anything that
how close are you to residential housing?
I would say, Mrs. Deaver, that the closest house to the property is directly across the street.
What about the noise from the helicopter? Is that going to create a nuisance?
Well, actually, the gentleman that's going to speak next is going to explain to you exactly what levels of noise you can expect from this and probably be better able to answer those questions.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, Ms. Deaver, I'd like to have Mr. Boyce come up, please. Mr. Boyce, will you introduce yourself to the members of the council, please?
My name is Roger Boyce. I live in 309 Palomino Drive in Newark, Delaware.
And what do you do for a living, Mr. Boyce?
I'm a fire protection consultant, and I also am a certified flight instructor, and I teach ground school and flight training in rotorcraft only.
And are you familiar with Mr. Herker?
Yes, Mr. Herker was actually one of our students.
And did you personally teach him?
Yes.
And are you familiar with the helicopter which he owns?
Yes, I have about approximately 650 hours in that type and make.
And do you consider yourself an expert in matters relating to the design and functioning of that helicopter?
Not in the design of it, but in the flying of it.
Okay, fair enough. There's a picture of this helicopter that appears at tab 10, I believe, in your books. And if you will, Mr. Boyce, what am I looking at tab 10?
You're looking at an Enstrom 280C FX, which is actually the training helicopter at Horizon Helicopters, which I believe is the same one that Mr. Herker received his training in. And it's sitting on a cart in back of Horizon Helicopters, which is where we teach.
Is this the same or similar to the one that Mr. Herker owns?
It's virtually identical.
And the cart that it's sitting on, can you tell me what purpose that serves?
You land on a cart so you can ferry the helicopter in and out of a hangar instead of having to have wheels on it.
And what kind of equipment is used to move that cart?
Typically a golf cart or small tow truck.
So in the scope of things, either this cart or the helicopter or the two together are relatively light, is that correct?
Did you say relatively light?
Light.
Yes, sir.
How many passengers and crew will this particular helicopter hold?
It's rated for 2 passengers and 1 pilot.
And what is the service ceiling for a helicopter of this type?
12,000 feet.
And what is the typical ceiling that it would fly at?
Average cruising altitude between 500 and 1,000 feet above the ground.
And that would be what, 99% of the time?
Yes.
What's the maximum airspeed?
The maximum airspeed for this particular craft is 117 miles an hour.
And its cruising speed?
80 to 90.
What type of power plant does this particular helicopter have?
It is a 360 Lycoming 4-cylinder piston engine.
It is not a jet turbine engine?
No, sir.
And does that make this particular engine more noisy or less noisy than a turbine engine?
Actually more noisy than a turbine engine.
And if you were to compare it to something that all of us would recognize, what would you compare it to?
We've calibrated it at about the same decibel level as a lawnmower.
At what distance?
That's standing probably within 50 feet of it.
Okay. If this aircraft or this helicopter were to be landing at this particular site, Ms. Deaver has raised the question about the noise level that would be created by this that would affect neighboring properties. Can you describe what the effect of this particular helicopter landing would be in terms of noise?
What you would hear is not the classic wop, wop, wop of the helicopter rotor blades. Excuse me. What you would hear is the engine exhaust noise and the tail rotor. And that's what we've calibrated to be about a lawnmower. If you have a commercial lawnmower go by, you know what that sounds like.
Okay, well, let's take a landing for an example. How long or how far out in terms of either time or distance would someone be able to hear the helicopter coming?
Depending on wind direction, and we've made several approaches into the site just to verify that it was safe to land there, you would probably hear the helicopter maybe 2 minutes prior to its actual landing.
And that noise would be faint at the beginning and get louder the closer it got to the site, the landing site?
It would be very faint, and eventually if it got over top of a particular house, that would be for only a period of maybe just a few seconds as it's going by, and it would typically be at a height of in excess of 500 feet above that house.
And it is at that point that it would sound the equivalent of a lawnmower?
No, it would be a lot less than that. It would sound like a lawnmower if you were standing within 100 feet of it.
Okay. How about during takeoff?
During takeoff would be the same. If you were standing within 100 feet of it, it would sound like a lawnmower. If it took off and flew over you, depending on how many feet above it you were, it would sound something less than a lawnmower.
And for what period of time would that take place?
At the takeoff or landing, 15, 20, 30 seconds.
During the period of time that the helicopter...
It's important to understand, he's not standing still while he's going over. He's taking off.
Right. And I assume that when he takes off, he's leaving faster than when he comes in. He's decelerating as he lands, and he is accelerating as he takes off.
Actually, the speeds are about the same.
Okay.
There's aerodynamic reasons for that, but they're about the same.
During the time that the helicopter is on the ground after landing, is there a cool-down period for the particular engine that we have in this type of aircraft?
This particular machine is 3 minutes.
Okay. And again, we're back to looking at comparing this to a lawnmower at 50 to 100 feet. What would the sound ratio be for it during this cool-down period?
The only thing you would hear at that particular cool-down period is the actual engine noise. The rotor and tail rotor are disengaged at that point.
And only the engine is operating?
Yes, sir.
During that cool-down period. You're familiar with the pilot training that Mr. Herker has received?
Yes, sir.
And what type of pilot license does Mr. Herker have?
He holds a private pilot in rotorcraft, and I also believe he has a private pilot in fixed wing.
Okay, and in terms of the ability to get a license as a rotorcraft pilot, what are the requirements that Mr. Herker would have had to meet in order to get that license?
He had to fulfill a minimum of 40 hours of training, but typically it takes much longer than that for a helicopter. And I believe in his case, it was probably more in the range of 50 to 60 hours. In addition to that, he had to pass a written test and an oral test and a check ride.
In order to maintain that license, is there a periodic review of that particular licensure or a periodic testing of Mr. Herker that needs to be fulfilled by him?
He has to have a biannual flight review by FAA regulation and also his insurance carrier.
There was a mention of a concrete pad on site. Would you describe for the members of the council the necessity for that concrete pad?
The landing surface has to be very stable under all conditions because this machine is 2,300 pounds. If you set it down on asphalt, I'm sure many of you are familiar with a motorcycle on warm asphalt, the kickstand will go on the asphalt. Well, the same thing will happen with that helicopter. One of the skids could settle into the asphalt when it's warm, and that can create a very dangerous condition. As a result, the surface that you land on has to be very stable, and that's why we typically use concrete as a pad.
You indicated earlier on that you had some expertise in matters of fire control and fire regulations. Were you called upon to use those skills on this particular site?
We assisted Mr. Herker in getting all his approvals through the Sussex County Building Code and the State Fire Marshal's Office for his facility.
Okay, and that would include a hangar for this particular rotorcraft if it's approved by the council?
Yes, sir. The hangar was designed in accordance with NFPA 409, which is the NFPA standard for aircraft hangars, and it's a Type 3 aircraft hangar approved by the State Fire Marshal's Office.
Is there any fuel storage on this site?
None for the aircraft.
And will there be any maintenance performed on this particular aircraft at this site?
I understand that Mr. Herker stipulated to the fact that he will not do any maintenance on it.
And maintenance would be routinely performed on this aircraft where?
It's usually performed at Horizon Helicopters, and there's another facility in New Garden, Pennsylvania.
And that maintenance has to be performed how often?
Annually.
So once a year, this aircraft has to go somewhere for its maintenance?
It was just had its annual 3 weeks ago at Horizon.
What is the potential for this site to be used for other helicopters?
Any helicopter could land there, given the pilot's skill level.
And it could be used in emergencies by state police or other medical or emergency type helicopters.
They would have the skill level to do that.
Now, we have established these things, and then one last thing I want to get into is visual flying reference. What are we talking about for this particular site in terms of VFR?
Visual flight rules, you have VFR or visual flight rules and IFR, which is instrument flight rules.
visual flight rules, this helicopter is only rated VFR. That means it can only be flown if there's a 3 miles visibility and that they can remain clear of clouds, versus instrument flight rules where you can fly in zero visibility and through clouds.
And Mr. Herker is certified as a VFR pilot of a helicopter?
Yes, sir.
Do you know if he's certified for IFR?
I understand he is not certified for IFR.
And there is nothing proposed on this particular site that would indicate that it will be used as an IFR facility. Is that correct?
That's my understanding.
Question. There was an accident that took place down in this general area involving a well-known developer a few years ago in the fog. Is this particular aircraft or this particular site suitable for flying in the fog?
Absolutely not.
And the reason is why?
You'll die.
Okay. And why will you die?
It's called inadvertent IMC, where you fly from visual flight conditions into loss of vision or loss of reference to the ground. That causes instant spatial disorientation. And the best of pilots, the highest skilled pilots, even pilots that are IFR equipped with IFR equipment, if they aren't set up to fly into that IMC condition, they'll lose reference to the ground and typically they'll board into the ground. That's true for fixed wing as well as helicopters. It doesn't matter where you fly.
And it's not only just fog, it would also include heavy rain or heavy snow. Is that correct?
You can fly through some pretty heavy rain and snow and still have reasonable visibility. But if the visibility drops below 1 mile, you're in the IFR conditions.
And again, this facility is not intended for that. This is for visual reference, which would be the more than 1 mile limitation.
3 mile visibility, clear clouds.
In terms of size of other helicopters that could go on this site, is it possible for this site to be used by a helicopter of, let's say, 6 seats or less?
Yes.
And that would include typically, what's a good example of something of that size?
A Jet Ranger is the most classic example, which is many people would remember the early state police helicopters. They were Jet Rangers.
Okay. Noisy or less noisy than the one that we're talking about now?
They're actually a little less noisy. Okay.
And if Mr. Herker were to upgrade from this particular rotorcraft to another rotorcraft, that would be about as big as he could get in here?
Well, as big as Mr. Herker could get in there.
Okay.
A higher skill level could possibly get a much larger craft.
And the limitation would be his licensure, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Boyce. Members of the council, I think you've heard from Mr. Boyce, Mr. Clark, about the proposed use of the site and the purposes which will be served by having this approved as a private helipad for Mr. Herker so that he can facilitate his business needs through the use of speedy transportation. You've also heard about the skill levels, the types of helicopters that could be used at this particular facility, the efforts that he is going to in order to make sure that there is an approved hangar facility, which will not include either maintenance facilities or fuel storage, in order to allow for the helicopter itself to be protected from whatever elements there may be. We've also heard about from Mr. Boyce a description of the noise levels that would be affecting neighbors by reason of this helicopter coming and going on average once a week. There was a proposed set of conditions that were set by me in this particular booklet. Mr. Johnson made some approvals and he asked or limited this to 4-seat helicopters. I would ask that you consider taking that to 6 seats so that Mr. Herker may upgrade to a slightly larger helicopter and at the same time facilitate less noise by having a larger helicopter of the Jet Ranger type available to him. I assume that they're expensive, so I'm going to assume that Mr. Herker can afford one and can fly one. If you have any questions, the three of us remain available to
answer. Yeah, I do have a question.
Sure,
The number 4 on what we have in front of us, it's number 1 states that, you know, it'll be for the private personal use. And then we go down to number 4. It says, as stated by the applicant, any helicopters using this site. So the word any kind of concerns me. And at the same time, we have, you know, just the private use. So is there any problem with limiting it to one helicopter, the applicant's helicopter only, and that the owner will notify planning and zoning when there's been a change of helicopters. And the reason I say that, I'll just give you a little, this council, and Lawrence can chime in here, we had a problem with a helicopter landing site out on 17, and the neighbors were screaming bloody murder all the time because they came in so often. And you've actually said that it's going to be very limited in use, but there's no limits on the ins and outs. And then as we get a larger helicopter, it sounds like the intent is to get a larger helicopter eventually, that it may be, you know, things may change. So we heard a lot of testimony on the current helicopter. I've seen the current helicopter. It's the same one that landed in your yard. And Gerald Hocker and myself, we got some phone calls on that one. And it annoyed the neighbors and stuff, and so they called. We're a little concerned about it. Somebody did, but quite a few calls came in.
Well, let me ask you to take this into consideration, Mr. Cole. I don't particularly...
Well, I don't want it to be opened up, and all of a sudden, we don't want to have to be worried about enforcing whose helicopter's coming in, who's not, because I think out on the West Airport, right, Lawrence, we always had a... It was confusing whose helicopter was what. They were friends, they weren't this and that, and the word any is concerning me at this point.
Well, if you accept the proposition that the conditional use is for his business and for his personal use, that's the limitation that you're looking for. The second thing I wanted to discuss with you is this, that there's always the potential that this site, because it will be used as a helicopter landing site, may very well be used for some emergency purposes. Recently, there was an accident in a road
I understand
in front of this, and so if we have a limitation that says one, but there's already one on the ground,
I know what happened.
I think that
I understand.
That needs to be carved out as an exception.
That'd be fine.
The emergency use.
Go ahead.
Let me finish. The third thing that I want you to take into consideration is that this particular site is not an open field. It's not immediately adjacent to somebody's house. It is surrounded by trees, and I think you have this photograph or one similar to it somewhere in your packet. You can see that this thing sits in the woods, and the noise levels that would be generated by this.
Well, I think on Route 17, we had complaints coming where they're actually coming in over other properties, but that's neither here nor there.
Well, it is here or there.
Well, my concern, here's my concern. There have been over the years a number of people who've been shown a lot of interest in using the helicopter to come down, you know, to the beach. And what happened out on the West Airport, the different people were coming in, ferrying them in and out for, mm-hmm. you know, just to get down to their beach houses, et cetera, et cetera. So what I'm concerned about, if we're going to limit it to one helicopter, the applicant's helicopter, we need to know what kind of helicopter that is. We shouldn't be seeing a four-seater come in, a six-seater come in, then the two-seater come in, and have a variety of helicopters using the site, because then it leads one to believe maybe that it's just not the use of the applicant's helicopter, but maybe the friends and stuff. And again, we don't want to get into an enforcement situation. There's either one helicopter using it, and that's it.
Well, let me make a suggestion to you, Mr. Cole, because when I used to work for you all, we used to have the Flying Farmers every couple months.
Exactly.
Back in the early 90s, where we would have people come in who had farm fields and a lot of Piper Cubs, and the Flying Farmers would go weekend to weekend, and they would, you know, I don't know how they determined where they were going to go, but somebody would declare the coal farm is where we're going to be today, and next thing you know, there's 25 or 30 J3 Piper Cubs landing at somebody's field, and then they would move to another location. And I guess the suggestion I want to make to you is, first, that's not what Mr. Herker's intention is, and secondly, if you want to put a cap on this, let's assume first that Mr. Herker may be sufficiently wealthy that he could have multiple helicopters, and to limit it to a particular type may not be appropriate, because if he had two different types of helicopters, which one would you limit it to? I don't know that that's true, and I'm giving you that as a hypothetical.
But then possibly planning and zoning knows.
Well, let me make a suggestion to you if you're going to throw a number, and that is to make the number three. Let's assume for a minute that he has two helicopters and you want
to... No, I don't want to assume anything. He either has one helicopter now or he has two helicopters now, and all I'm saying is the owner will notify planning and zoning is if there's a change occurs in the helicopter situation. We're talking about one at a time coming in and out of sight. I don't want the place to turn into Once other people find out that there's this helicopter pad, they will be making phone calls possibly and just saying, you know, can I borrow you? Can I use your pad? This I want to get down to the beach. And it is nice to be able to avoid a lot of traffic.
I don't disagree.
Had the same thing out on things. So if they want to use it for business use, I don't have any problem with it.
We're not offering this as a commercial site, Mr. Cole. We're asking this as a private venture for him to personally land his helicopter. It is not intended to be a van shop for helicopters.
But is there a problem in limiting it to one helicopter?
Why don't we make it three, Mr. Cole?
And then the owner will notify planning and zoning when he upgrades his helicopter.
Why don't we make it three and we'll let you know when there's four?
No, I don't. I think I'd like to limit it to, they only need one helicopter to...
Plus an emergency.
They have an emergency helicopter?
If an emergency helicopter were to arrive on site while his is there, would that be denied?
That we can easily put in a state police, a paramedic-type helicopter, no problem, ever. I don't think anybody would ever.
So we're at two.
No, the owner's helicopter.
Plus an emergency.
Well, let's see if we just want to... Mr. Cole was interested in putting some type of a condition on the application. We will discuss that a little later. Okay. How about if we continue with the public hearing?
We have presented all that we have to present.
Okay. Is there anyone else then that would like to speak in favor of this application? Seeing none, is there anyone here in opposition? Anyone in opposition? Now the public hearing is over, and if it's appropriate, I think the council can deem the public record closed, and now would be the appropriate time to discuss some of the conditions.
Okay. Public hearing and the public record is closed. Mr. Cole, would you like to offer a condition to satisfy your, a motion to satisfy your concern?
From hearing the presentation and the emphasis on this helicopter, which I feel is totally appropriate, I get down to number four where it says, as stated by the applicant, any helicopters. Mm-hmm. We had a problem, and did we have a problem or did we not have a problem on Route 17 with a number of what was occurring there? And what they did is they circumvented the county in different conditional uses they had there by saying they were friends. Oh, then all of a sudden they had a lot of friends. Now, we can't enforce all that. What I'm trying to do is make it easy when the complaints come in about helicopters. And, Mr. Hurt, you have a beach house down there, and there could be other reasons. There could be a lot of things. Anyway, so I don't want it to get out of control. I like to see him use a helicopter, come in and use it for business purposes and whenever he's coming down. But I think we could easily control it by limiting it to the applicant's helicopter, and the owner will notify planning and zoning when he upgrades his helicopter. And changes the helicopter. I don't want to give three helicopters. We'll have three or four helicopters in there. I'm not saying they'll do it, but the application, when we have a conditional use, runs with the land. Doesn't run with the applicants. So I think whoever, we limit it to one at a time, and that was what the presentation was here about today. And I just think that we shouldn't expand on it.
Okay, we have a motion helicopters by Mr. Cole to limit the application to one helicopter owned by the applicant.
And the owner will notify P&Z when there is a change, of owner or a new type of helicopter. A change of helicopter, just notify P&Z.
The owner will register the type of helicopter right. that he intends to land at the field.
That way it'll make it nice and easy to if there are complaints, that we can follow up on them and stay on top of them.
Okay, that's a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Motion and a second. I'm going to go ahead and turn to Mr. Moore.
I just wanted a clarification on that. So what your proposal would do is...
Number four.
Yes, and number four, you would delete the capacity of four.
This gentleman said the site will only handle such and such of a helicopter.
So, but it's one helicopter, but you're not limiting the capacity.
At this point, I don't see any reason to limit the capacity. I mean, I can't imagine he's going to have one of those big military transport things come in there, and there gets to a certain point of how big your helicopter's got to be. I think my more concern is that we see a multiple, a number of helicopters all of a sudden start using the site, and it becomes something we've lost control of or something happens. So anyway, I would just like to limit it to the applicant's helicopter only, and the owner will notify P&Z when they change a helicopter's occur.
Okay. Further discussion. Mr. Wilson, did you have something?
No, I'm just thinking how we're going to have our police force out there checking those helicopters that come in. So we make
now,
sure
there'll only be one.
So, well, somebody's got to check it, George. No. Somebody's going to have to be around us. You know, it's just
only upon complaints.
We're just going to be down there. We'll check them out, have their spy glasses, and we're going to see if they got the right helicopter there. Make sure it don't get nothing wrong.
Yeah, you hear from the neighbors.
It's a police action, what it amounts to.
It's going to be less.
It's another job.
Sam, what I'm proposing.
You're going to take your time off season and go out there and look at
it. Sam, what I'm proposing will be less of a police action than not.
Well, I can even go as far as taking your argument. I say, well, if we only want so many trips in there at a time, a month, we can say, well, he can fly in a couple times a month and have some miles flying a couple times a month. That's still only four times a month. Or you can say he can fly in four times a month. What difference does it make?
Okay,
that's
Sam.
All hogwash to me.
Right.
We have with like borrow pits a 5-year review. Is it possible that should this motion fail and there not be limitations placed on the number of helicopters or the type of helicopters, that we could have a 3-year review where if there is excessive complaints, we could revisit the conditional use application permit?
Actually, a helicopter can fly anywhere if he wants emergency land. I mean, there's no law saying he can land in a cow pasture. I've had him land in my cow pasture. No, I didn't go out there and call and say, oh, I heard a helicopter land out here. It's no big deal.
Yeah, I guess I just could see where someone else wanting to land at that location with the owner's permission would not seem unreasonable. But Mr. Cole certainly.
Route 17. I don't know, Lawrence. If you all want to defer we've had a problem with a helicopter landing operation not too long ago, and
it was a joint application for an airport and. Airport landing strip and a helipad, and if memory serves me right, it was only approved for the airport.
Right. I think the helicopter pad was denied. We have a motion and a second on the table.
I think Mr. Lank had one additional point. Did you know?
Oh, informational. The commission recommendation was based on testimony of the applicant. When they originally started submittal, they were talking about two passengers and a pilot. At the conclusion, they made reference, and it's specific in the record, that there would have no objection to a restriction that only helicopters with less than four seats would be requested, and so the commission made that stipulation. Now we're hearing six, but I mean, that's understandable after they think about it for a while, because that came off cuff, I'm sure. The intent was just to put a capacity on it for that purpose, to limit the size of the helicopter, knowing that helicopters range from rather small, the one that's pictured, to a pretty substantial size.
Mr. Vinson, you have the floor.
Well, I understand Councilman Wilson's concern about that. We don't have helicopter police, obviously, nor are we going to have. The only thing I think, is the fact that if we don't have some kind of stipulation, there's nothing to say that this could not become somebody else land, because you're my friend or you're whatever, and it might have been very well that the neighbors around here, even though they are sparse, I would agree with that, they had no opposition to this, but maybe you come up with someone to land two helicopters a day, and then they might say, wait a minute, I oppose that. I mean, I think it just makes sense that we need to have some kind of bar that we're going to try to maintain so that these people have some kind of knowledge going on.
And Mr. President,
Mr. Moore.
I have attempted to just scribble out some notes
we have a motion on the floor.
Well, what exactly is the motion? And that's what I was trying to clarify.
Just clarify.
Go right ahead.
With limited to one helicopter owned by the applicant to use the site, with the exception of for emergency uses. The applicant is to inform planning and zoning of the type of helicopter. And
that's satisfactory, and that's okay for a second. We'll take that vote now if there's no further discussion. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
No.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vinson?
Yes.
I vote no. Motion does carry. You've got one helicopter that you got to register with planning and zoning. Okay.
How many times a day?
Make a motion. We adopt the conditional use application as amended.
Okay. We will ask Mr. Moore to read the title.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay.
It's an ordinance grant of conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a helicopter landing site, private, to be located on certain parts of land lying and being in Dagsborough 100, Sussex County, containing 8.45 acres more or less, subject to the following conditions. One, the use shall be for the private personal use of the business occupying the adjacent office slash warehouse and shall not be open for general aviation purposes. Two, the use of the helicopter landing pad shall be subject to the applicable requirements of the FAA and any other governmental agency having jurisdiction over its use. Three, no fuel storage or repair facilities for the helicopter shall exist on the site. Four, it's limited to one helicopter owned by the applicant with exception for emergency uses. The applicant is to inform the planning and zoning of the type of helicopter in use. As stated by the applicant, the landing site shall not be lighted. Six, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Make that motion.
And do I have a second?
Second.
Motion and a second to approve conditional use 1858, application of Omar Road LLC with the conditions as modified by council and read by our county attorney. Any further discussion?
I got one question.
Mr. Wilson.
What is wrong with the fuel on the premises? I mean, where's this man going to get his fuel? Go down the road, park the gas station, or what? What's going on here?
He'll come to Sussex County Airport, we hope.
Okay. Any further discussion? Give the reasons for your vote, please. Ms. Deaver.
I vote no. A helicopter pad in the midst of residential housing is a nuisance. I wouldn't vote yes and then wait for the complaints to come in later. I vote no.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
I'll vote yes. As the applicant has described the application, this and it's already a conditional use. It's an accessory use to an existing conditional use. And it's a regional maintenance facility, and there was a need for management to be able to visit sites in a widespread area of different states, et cetera, et cetera. So therefore, I feel that with the conditions that we have in place, that it's an appropriate use. I'll vote yes.
Mr. Vincent.
With the conditions that have been placed on it, I think also if anyone had objections, if it's shown up today, we've seen that people show up who are opposed to things. Nobody's shown up to oppose this thing, either planning and zoning or here. So I vote yes.
Not always.
I'm going to vote no. I feel like we may have kind of opened a can of worms by registering vehicles with planning and zoning here. I think maybe we could have restricted, you know, the number of trips or something like that. But it doesn't seem like, with the lack of public concern, that we needed to go quite that far. But the motion carries. Application approved. Anything else, Mr. Moore, Mr. Godwin, Mr. Lank, Ms. Griffin? Second, please. Second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Adjourn.